The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Before we go to Jeff, let me answer this text question. I think it's 1982. What does that mean, dead money? Does it help the cap or it has nothing to do with the cap? No, it's got everything to do with the cap.
It's against the cap.
So what dead money is, you are paying a player, so to speak, off your cap that's not there anymore. This year, it's $14 million for Marshon Lattimore. That's coming off the cap. Next year, $31.6 million is coming off your cap allotment, and he's not there. But, again, they're going to have other guys that you're doing that to, too. Jameis Winston's one. Michael Thomas is another.
Say, Mike.
And if Ryan Ramczyk does what I think and announces retirement after this year, you have his dead money hit, too. This team's got a lot of financial maneuvering around in 2025. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, the columnist, head columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, Jeff Duncan. Jeff, man, I got in touch with you because I know you hadn't had nothing to do the last 2 days.
It's been boring, Jeff.
It's boring, nothing.
Yeah, I was just telling Charlie, I mean, when's something going to happen around here? Come on.
Jeff,
it's been a crazy look. We've been through days like this in the past.
Yes,
right?
We have.
I mean, when you cover the New Orleans Saints, it's never a dull moment. But yesterday was a pretty hectic 24 hours.
Jeff, I'll talk to you about Lattimore first. You could kind of see the seas rising, that especially over the last couple of days. And I told this to Bob. It would surprise me if he wasn't dealt today. And I want value. I always want value. I ain't the Red Cross. I'm not giving him away to anybody. And so you got a third, a fourth, and a sixth. I'm all for accumulating draft choices. But you better pick the right players. Because this team, that's why they're in the situation they're in. They don't have enough good young players on the roster. And the only way to get that is through the draft. So I know what the Commanders are getting. He's the greatest cornerback that's ever put on the black and gold. The very best. And there's a big gap between one and two with Lattimore. But then it became a situation of injuries, how quickly he could come back from it. And he kind of wanted to dance to the beat of his own drum. And so I think it's good for both teams that Lattimore now has an open spot. And in Dan Quinn's defense, he loves to play a lot of press man. That's what Marshon likes to do.
Yeah, Mike, I think this is a win for Marshon Lattimore moving on, and a win for the Saints allowing him to move on. And I know that might sound crazy to some fans. You know, obviously Marshon Lattimore is inarguably the best cornerback in the history of the franchise, as you said. Multi-Pro Bowler, with Defensive Rookie of the Year. But frankly, the last few years, he hasn't been that guy. He hasn't been available very often. He's been hot and cold with his effort and performance. He tended to play to the level of the competition. We all remember his great one-on-ones against Mike Evans, but there were other games where he would get torched by much lesser opponents. And I think that wore thin with the Saints. And on the Lattimore side of things, I don't think he was a huge – matter of fact, I know he was not a huge fan of Dennis Allen.
Nope.
And some of the staff members. And so this was probably good to give him a fresh start. Let him start anew with a team that's rising right now in the NFC, and let the Saints kind of start develop their younger cornerbacks without maybe that influence in the locker room. You've got some talented young guys there in Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry, who was drafted just for this very reason. I'm not sure you want Lattimore, because he had been so successful for so many years and was wanting out of here, I'm not sure you want them being influenced by him at that point. So I think it was kind of a divorce that needed to happen.
Jeff, this, I think, signals to me Alante Taylor goes back to edge corner. He's not the nickel anymore.
Yeah, I think you're right. And look, Alante Taylor, Mike, I think you would agree. I mean, he's got big-time talent. I mean, they can get him to play more consistently. Yep. I think they've got something there, and I think that's the one position that the Saints have that you could deal from a position of strength. You know, when Adebo comes back, assuming you can get him signed long-term, and you've got Alante Taylor and McKinstry, I mean, you've got three top corners. And the other thing I would say is the Saints, because of all the injuries that Lattimore has experienced the last few years, they've become accustomed to playing without him. And if you look at the raw numbers, they've actually played defensively as well or better without him than when he's on the field. So I think this had to happen. It's something I know they've been trying to do all offseason. They've been shopping Lattimore for a number of reasons. You mentioned the cap reasons. But I think more than anything else, it was off the field that the instances there that led them to kind of make this move.
You know, Bob and I had talked about this for weeks. We didn't know if they would pull the plug on Dennis Allen. It had not been kind of the MO of this franchise to do. But there's always a tipping point. Losing to Carolina, to me, it was the ultimate tipping point. And, you know, I wasn't doing this at this time, but I remember Hank Stram and his Saints teams, 1977, the second to last game of the year. And listen, that was chaos on that team, too, behind the scenes with Hank and also the owner, John Meacham Jr. But that team lost to the Tampa Bay Bucs. It was the first win in the history of the Tampa Bay Bucs. They almost went 2 years without a victory. And I remember Coach Stram telling me, he said, "Bayou, that was it. I should have known better." Because he said, after the last game, John Meacham Jr. came up to me and said, "Hank, we're going to do everything they can to get you to win games." And he said, "Yeah." A couple of days later, he sent two of his guys over there to fire me. And so that was the tipping point. I think the loss to the Panthers was the ultimate tipping point for Dennis Allen. Because if they win that game, he's still the coach of the Saints today.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, it reminded me a little bit, Mike, of 2002. Now, this didn't result in the ouster of Jim Haslett, but it was kind of the beginning of the end. The Saints lost late in that season to a 1-13 Bengals team, and Jim Haslett really never recovered. They just needed to win one game of those final three to get in the playoffs, and they couldn't do it. It was very similar to me, and I had heard from some sources late last week that if he did lose that game, that he was in serious trouble losing his job. And by Sunday night, I'd heard it was going to happen on Monday morning. So it was no surprise when it finally happened. It's unfortunate. I think all of us here that's dealt with Dennis Allen would like to have seen him succeed. He's a good man. I think he's, you know, given his heart and soul to the organization for nearly two decades. I mean, he's been a tremendous coach there. And I know he did everything he could to get it to work, but it just was not working. The team was actually getting worse under his watch as opposed to better as the season went on. And I think those back-to-back losses to Philadelphia and Atlanta, when you look back at it, both those games the Saints could have won, arguably should have won. And when you give those games away like that, it's in this league, it's hard to recover from it.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jennifer
Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I talked to Rick Venturi a while back, and Rick had told me, Mike, I was an assistant coach for so long, became a head coach. I wasn't good in the big room. The small room, I could handle. But he said the bigger room, I couldn't. And I get what he was saying. You're dealing with all kind of different personalities. You're dealing with people away from your wheelhouse as a coach. Because either you know offense or defense. You don't know both of them. You got to trust your assistant coaches on the other side of the ball that they know that and can get the most out of their players. And it always reminded me of that in doing shows yesterday of Rick saying about Mike. I think he said I was a pretty good assistant coach, but I was not made to be a head coach. He said there are just very few people that can succeed doing that.
Yeah, and Mike, there's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean,
bro, no, not at all.
Yeah, look at a guy like Steve Spagnuolo, who's just really struggled to find success as a head coach with the Rams, and is without question the best defensive coordinator in the NFL right now. Very successful, winning Super Bowls. He's in the right spot, and I think Dennis Allen's going to find very similar success somewhere. He's an excellent coach. There's so much more that goes in to being a head coach than an assistant coach. You've got to be almost a psychologist. You've got to be a manager. You've got to understand egos and personalities. There's just a lot that goes into it. And you're right. It's a rare quality. That's why Sean Payton, I think, made all of us, take him for granted a little bit, because he was so good calling plays, but also leading an organization, understanding how to motivate people. And the thing that I see missing the most from Dennis Allen during his tenure, and I wrote about this over the weekend, is just that attention to detail. I used the analogy of the Saints parking situation with some of the players, and I know that caught people off guard. But
no, it's happened to me. I've had two Saints players park right alongside of me. You know, they went right into the Saints parking lot, and one of them, he'd always walk out and he'd say, "Hey, what's going on, cool?" That was his comment. Hey, because we parked right next to one another when the training camp was there.
Yeah, it's just reflective of a bigger issue, right? If you can't, address that situation off the field, you can't get the players to fall in line about that, then what's going on the field? And I think we saw it reflected on game days where the attention to detail just was not there. It wasn't really one thing. It was kind of everything. And I think the downturn of the defense was also a killer for Dennis Allen. I mean, this was a top five defense for a number of years. That's his specialty. That's his bread and butter. And it was awful this year. It got worse. And if you were looking at a side of the ball that had no excuses, it was the defense. I mean, they really didn't have a ton of injuries there until the last week. And so I think that was ultimately the death knell for him.
Jeff, the comments from the presser yesterday with, obviously, Rizzi, but before that with, Tyrann Mathieu and also Foster Moreau, it was a lot of raw kind of, I don't want to call it emotion, but it was a lot of raw audio from those two guys, and specifically Tyrann when he was saying that it was kind of on the defense is the reason that he got fired, kind of to what you were just saying. But Tyrann also made a great point at one point in that presser where he was talking about, I've obviously followed the Saints for forever. They had some bad defenses before D.A. got there. Kind of his legacy, because obviously it's kind of a sour note as ending as a head coach and what he did here in his tenure. But I think you made a great point on social media yesterday as well, Jeff, that if you look at the full body of work of what Dennis Allen was able to accomplish in his time in New Orleans, really turning those defenses around, I think it's worth obviously putting into consideration as well.
Yeah, Charlie, and look, I know a lot of people felt like it was too soon.
No, but it's a good point. I mean, I agree with it. It's like it's emotional responses right now, but it's something that you can also put into consideration.
Jeff, they don't win the Super Bowl if they don't have Greg Williams. People can think what you want, but that defense was really bad. Greg Williams comes in here. Okay, he had a lot of swagger. He talked a good game, but they played for Greg. You don't win the Super Bowl without Greg Williams. And look how people think about Greg Williams today.
Exactly. 100%, Mike. Charlie, you all make great points. And Dennis Allen was the top lieutenant for Greg Williams. He ran the same scheme. He perfected that scheme. And I thought at the end, with Sean Payton, they were the perfect combination of defense and offense during that great run from 2017 to 2020. You could argue the defense was the strength of those great teams that were winning 13 games and just fell short of winning the Super Bowl for a number of unfortunate reasons. And look, I think down the line, when we look back on Dennis Allen, he's going to be worthy of consideration for the Saints Hall of Fame because he was the top defensive coach here for nearly a decade and a half and on some of the best teams the Saints have ever had. And I know Steve Sidwell is in the Hall of Fame, and I think deservedly in the Saints Hall of Fame. I think Dennis Allen at least deserves to be considered for his work as an assistant coach. Just let's disregard these last 3 years because they haven't been the best, let's face it. But as an assistant, I think he's certainly worthy.
Jeff, with the firing of Dennis Allen, I think now fans are going to look at the structure of this team. How did we get this way? And it is all around they have not hit on draft choices. They have not been able to bring in enough quality young players to bail yourself out of the salary cap situation that you're in today. You only knew that by getting young players. And so now I think the focus for us, guys like you and I and Charlie, along with the fans, is how did we get here? Draft. And so now that finger, because we know who is in charge of that, is on Jeff Ireland today. I think he becomes the guy you got to take a look at. And if it was going so well, why did you go outside the organization and bring in Randy Mueller and Dave Ziegler as consultants?
Yeah, I think that's definitely unarguable right now. The last seven drafts, all the way back to this famed, legendary 2017 draft, Mike, you've produced one Pro Bowler, and that's Eric McCoy. Obviously, Chris Olave looks like certainly a hit, I think you'd have to say, as a first-rounder, but they just haven't produced otherwise. They've actually almost been as good with their undrafted free agents as they have their drafted players, when you consider Rashid Shaheed and guys like that. But, it's just that the results haven't been there. I think a lot of Jeff Ireland, I think he's a very talent evaluator. He's widely respected across the league, has interviewed for general manager positions. But like Dennis Allen, this is a results-driven business. And right now the results just haven't been there. But I would add one caveat, and I'm not saying this is 100% true or not, but sometimes that's on the coaching staff too, Mike. You know that.
Yep.
Can you develop the talent? Is it being developed? If you talk to players in the Saints locker room, and I know sometimes they're obviously biased, they'll tell you that they feel like there's a lot more talent there than's being produced on the field. And I saw Sean Payton come in here in 06 and take a kind of a ragamuffin team that had a lot of carryover players from the Hazlitt regime, and they played a lot better under a new staff than they did under Hazlitt. The first one I think of is like John Stinchcomb, who was labeled a bust for all those years and became a Pro Bowl player under a new regime.
Devery Henderson.
Yes.
Same situation.
Playing to their strengths, right? I mean, find the strengths of those players. Everyone's got strengths and weaknesses, and play to it. And so I'm still willing to maybe say, let's see what happens under a new coach, a new regime. I do think Darren Rizzi is a great choice as the interim head coach. He's going to bring some energy and some enthusiasm, much needed. His personality, I think, is exactly what they need right now. He comes from that Bill Parcells tree, which I think is based on attention to detail and accountability, the things that have been missing with this team. I think he'll be considered. But I also think they have to look long and hard across the league, even into the college ranks. I turn over every stone because this is a critical hire after four seasons of missing the playoffs. They've got to hit on this one. The fans are frustrated. The expectations have been raised in this city, rightfully so. They cannot afford another strikeout.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Jeff. And if you're looking at this now with Rizzi, I was talking with Mike Hoss about this last night after the coach's show. Just like he's got an 8-game basically pitch to make. He made his pitch with Bobby. Bobby had asked a question. It's just like, sell yourself to me, basically, as the next head coach of the Saints. And he talked about his experience, his just basically his resume. He threw it all out there. And then Haas, after the show, came and talked to me about it. He's just like, the 8 games that he's got now as interim head coach is his pitch to the Saints at this point. But at the same time, if you're looking outside the organization as well, I've seen some names early kind of thrown out there. But where are you kind of looking at early on, Jeff? I know it's obviously the firing happened yesterday, so there's still plenty of time to figure out what the Saints will do under Rizzi for the next 8 games to close out the season, but also, you know, different candidates that could potentially be available.
Well, what I think the trade I would be looking for if I were Mickey Loomis and Gail Benson, Dennis Lauscher, the brain trust, is I would look for an alpha personality, you know, very much like Sean Payton has, the way Mike Tomlin is in Pittsburgh, you know, someone that could come in here and take over, take the keys to this organization and lead it from this abyss that they're in right now. I think they need a very strong leader. And I think the organization, the city, the fan base is looking for that strong leader. That really wasn't necessarily Dennis Allen. And I think that's where he fell short as well, in addition to some of the other things we've talked about, is he didn't really command the team the way you need a head coach to do. And I think it's particularly important in the New Orleans Saints organization, a smaller market team, kind of a family business, if you will. You need someone. That's what made Sean Payton such a perfect fit here. And he was, I think, enhanced in his role because of Mickey Loomis. And I think Mickey Loomis will operate very well with a coach like that. I think they've got to find someone else like that out there. In other words, I'm not sure an assistant who's going to be just an X's and O's guru, you know, someone that's from that new tree that everybody's sweeping across the league, a Mike McDaniel, McDonald, those kind of guys. I think it has to be someone that's maybe been a head coach that has that authority presence.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time. Great insights. And, man, I'm going to let you go. Something else might happen by the time midnight hits.
Well, hey, last time you guys had me on, Louisville has lost to SMU. I didn't hear anybody bring up Clemson this time around.
So let's
look at the Cardinals next time.
Man, did they catch them?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that was an uppercut. I didn't see that happening. I thought Louisville could kind of go toe to toe with them, but I never thought they could beat them like that.
Smoked.
Man, they blew them off the track, so to speak. Jeff, hey, how about them Louisville Cardinals? Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
Jeff Duncan, lead columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.